7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode. And as always, I'm joined by Tim and Tom. Guys, how's it going?
It is a interesting Tuesday, as always. Tom and I have been here waiting for roughly 2.5 hours for you to finally bring your happy ass downstairs. I'm glad to see that you have a fully buttoned shirt again today. We miss you, Josh. We're glad you're back.
Yeah, I feel like half the time we're shooting these shows, Josh isn't a part of it. Because multiple hours me and Tim have to spend alone together. But Tim, we've gotten closer
Josh found out today, actually, that you and I spending more time together probably isn't a good idea.
He looks more pissed off.
Yeah, he came down. We were throwing around some extreme theories, and Josh was like,
pipe bombs and shit.
What the hell did I walk into? I feel like we're going to do the podcast on those theories today. Josh, back to you.
Well, we are going to be talking about some of the news in the NFL. And after this episode, you guys will want to be listening to our running back ratings that we have for the 2018 NFL draft coming up. And we got some good running backs. Tom, you want to let everybody know what running backs we have?
No, I'm all right.
All right.
I will let people know since Tom went to be a dig. We have
keeping it real.
Saquon Barkley, Darius Geis, Sony Michel, Ronald Jones II, and one Nicholas Chubb.
And then I think after that we have talked about possibly doing another 5 running backs or maybe in the future. I think we're missing some decent names. It's a deep running back class, kind of the same thing with last year. And
explains why your boy Doug Martin got his bitch ass cut.
I guess if you guys want to start off with that, we can. Doug Martin gets cut. Also, Charles Sims going to free agency. What happens there with Tampa Bay? I don't think you can sit there and be comfortable with one Peyton Barber.
No. Peyton Barber is just a guy. They're going to – I could definitely see them going after Carlos Hyde. Maybe if Le'Veon Bell gets to walk, I could see Tampa Bay pursuing him, in all honesty. That type of roster they have right now in Tampa, very young, a young culture there. Nice weather. That probably fit Le'Veon Bell pretty well. I'm sure you would be happy if that happened, Joshua. But – they're going to go after someone in free agency, I think.
Yeah, if I'm the Buccaneers, I'm looking to add someone in free agency that's not a crap ton of money, and then draft a running back in the second round. I think they have so many other needs with their first round pick at that value 7. It's too much to invest in a Saquon Barkley if he's still there, even though I think he is available. You know, one of the best available, or one of the best just players overall. The Buccaneers aren't in a spot right now to do that. They have so many other needs. So if they can, you know, pick up a running back in free agency and then draft like a Ronald Jones II in the second round, that's a dirty combination right there.
What running backs, though, are available in free agency? You have Le'Veon Bell, which he may or may not get tagged tomorrow. Deion Lewis, Carlos Hyde, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Crowell, Rex Burkhead, Frank Gore, which sounds more and more likely like he may sign another deal.
I don't think so. Not with Indy.
Darren Sproles, Alfred Morris, LeGarrette Blount.
Jeremy Hill,
Charles Sims, Damian Williams,
honestly,
Orleans Darkwell.
If I'm the Buccaneers and I have the ability to sign for like a team-friendly Isaiah Crowell or Jeremy Hill and then draft one of those young running backs as like my versatile / scat back type running backs, you know, in the second or even third round, I do that. You know, the money that they'll save will pay off tenfold in terms of the defensive line help that they need, the offensive line help that they need. They can spend that money elsewhere. And Isaiah Crowell, who's only 25, pair him up with some type of scat back, and you're in a really, really good spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really don't see a lot of free agent running backs getting Jerick paid.
McKinnon's another one.
Yeah, Josh brought him up.
Did you say him? Sorry.
But right,
fucking guy.
You got to think. Look at the running back draft class this year. Next year, very deep as well. teams aren't going to be paying these running backs very much money unless they have proven that they are elite, like Le'Veon Bell. And even the Steelers are, it seems like they might be second-guessing themselves signing him to a long-term contract. So it's going to be interesting. Very volatile position. We see a lot of these guys, one big injury could ruin their career, a lot of punishment. So it'll be interesting. I think they'll be able to get a running back cheap, though, in free agency if they want to.
Word around camp is that the Jets are willing to bet the farm, give up as much money as possible to land one Kirk Cousins.
So that's something Tom and I were talking for the many hours prior to Josh actually arriving to the studio today. And there was a rumor out there. It was actually from the New York Post saying that the Jets could offer Kirk Cousins with $60 million guaranteed year one. Not overall.
They'd still have like 27 mil in cap.
Crazy to think that, you know, they could sign him.
That's outrageous.
They could sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal with like $90 million guaranteed, 60 the first year, 20 the second year, and 10 the third. And, you know, and then obviously have more associated with that as well. But, you know, how the hell, if you're Kirk Cousins, do you turn down $60 million? You literally signed the contract, and you have $60 million upfront.
It's weird, though, because Kirk Cousins has said over and over again that he doesn't really, I don't want to say care about the money, but he's getting pissed off with the tag. And would this be the big money grab for him? I mean, that's the big thing. $60 million, you can't really turn that down.
Josh, you know what Kirk Cousins, you know what Kirk Cousins also says? You like that? He loves $60 million in 1 year.
That's true.
Okay, $60 million. You get to go to New York. You get to get out of the shithole that is Washington, D.C. And you go to New York. You have to deal with that media, that scrutiny, whatever. They're already a shitty team. He's only going to make them better. For the first year, he can complain that he doesn't have talent. The second year, they'll either be good and he'll advance, or he has to deal with one more year and he walks away robbing them blind.
Yeah, with the Jets being able to offer that, we are going to see what Kirk Cousins really wants out of a team. Because there's rumors, Minnesota, Denver, they're both interested. Both of them have pretty good defenses. Vikings, I think, is far superior to the Broncos right now. But they still have tons of playmakers on the defense side of the football. So we will see where he's putting his priorities. So, is it the money, or does he actually want to win like he keeps saying he does?
Well, that's so best overall team he could walk into is Minnesota, but they could probably offer him the least amount of money.
I think they still have over 50 mil, so they could do it.
Yeah, they're going to have some holes to fill as well. I think just from where they're at, they're going to have the lowest probably offer to him. It'll still be a good offer, but not $60 million up front. Broncos are kind of that mid-level team, and you get to pair him then with Demaryius Thomas. You know, that's kind of where it seems like all the quote-unquote experts are saying that he's going to go. And then you have a team like the Jets. If you're a Jets fan, how do you not love? Just go for it. Do it. Why not? What else are we doing right now, right?
If I'm Cousins, I go to Minnesota. Right now they got 53 mil in cap space. They got Stephon Diggs. You got Dalvin Cook coming back. Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph.
Think about this, though.
But I would want to win. Like, he just got over 50 mil guaranteed the last 2 years.
You say that. But when the New York Jets are literally offering you double the amount of money guaranteed that the Minnesota Vikings are going to be able to offer him. Realistically. They're going to be able to offer him
in the first
double.
Year.
No.
Not over the whole contract.
No, overall, absolutely.
They're not going to offer him, the Vikings can't offer him 70 mil guaranteed. It's not too difficult. They're not going to offer him 140 mil guaranteed, make the whole contract guaranteed. It's not going to happen.
So say the first year. Say the Vikings are able to offer 30. The Redskins or the Jets offer 60. The second year and third year, there's still going to be some sort of guarantee on that, right? You're talking about the Jets doing a unprecedented, you know, close to $100 million guaranteed, realistically, for Kirk Cousins. You think the Vikings are going to guarantee $60, $70 million still?
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll see. I don't agree with that. I think with the way that they're setting themselves up, they're taking a stance on building their team the quote-unquote right way. And yeah. I don't think that they would make that offer.
All right. Broncos seem to maybe letting C.J. Anderson go. Word is that they're talking about cutting him right now and letting Booker become the main man in Denver, which I also think that they would go ahead and draft a running back as well.
For sure.
Who's their other running back? Henderson, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With C.J. Anderson possibly getting cut, if he does get cut, what team is he most likely, in your eyes, you think he may go to? Word, maybe the Dolphins, since that the Dolphins signed him to an offer sheet, I believe, last year, and Denver matched it. Tampa Bay would be another option if he is cut. What do you guys think?
There's really so many options right now. So many teams need running backs. Colts need a running back. Jets need a running back if they don't bring back Powell or Forte. You could see the Panthers if they get rid of Jay Stu. The Patriots, they're losing three running backs this offseason. There's so many options. I don't think he's going to get paid, but if the Broncos cut him, which I think they're going to, no dead cap money, and they get $4.5 million off their cap right now. And right now, they only got $25 million.
Yeah, right now, and 2019.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're talking about saving $9 million over the next 2 years. Like you said, you have to do it. You tell them, hey, either let's restructure, or unfortunately, we're gonna have to, you know, move you out. We'll give 100%. You a couple million guaranteed if you want, or we're gonna have to move you out, come back for a team friendly deal. And it's just, you look at teams like Miami. You look at teams like I feel like he would fit perfectly in Detroit. Stick him with Matthew Stafford. I feel like that's something that's not talked about enough. But no, they're gonna have you said Henderson, right? Is there running back? And then they're gonna draft somebody.
All right, world champion Philadelphia Eagles. They promote Mike Groh, the wide receiver coach, to offensive coordinator, but then they also promote Deuce Staley to assistant head coach. I don't think either one really matters much.
I disagree completely. The Eagles have done a good job since kind of building their staff up of next guy up and trying to build people up and bring people along. They gave Deuce Staley a fake title with a little bit extra money to keep him because they think that he has the potential to be an offensive coordinator in this league or some type of a valuable coach in this league. If they didn't, then they would have said, hey, Mike Groh's our OC. Deuce Staley, take it or leave it. You can go. So obviously this year it's not a monster, you know, deal, but I think it's something that they potentially could look back and say, hey, keeping Deuce Staley with this fake title, you know, Groh has now moved on, become an offensive coordinator here or there or a head coach here or there, and now they're, you know, keeping Deuce Staley, who's been in the system for the last 2 to 4 years, and something that their whole team is comfortable with.
Yeah, it's, for me, it's just a move out of respect. You're technically promoting both of them, even though Staley's still sticking to being the running back coach, and that'll be his primary thing. He's done a great job there. It seems like all the Philly guys I follow on Twitter thought he was going to get the spot. So I was a little shocked when I saw that Groh got the deal. But obviously, this is a hot team right now. They lost their offense coordinator, quarterback coach. Both guys, well, Frank Reich took the Colts job. DeFilippo got the OC job in Minnesota. So it's tough. It's tough when you're the champs and you're losing coaches like this. But I think it was a smart move giving Deuce that the promotion technically as well.
If Josh McDaniels takes the – I'm not rubbing this in your face. I'm not.
I just want to punch something now.
If he takes the Colts job, the Eagles get away scot-free. Realistically, right?
They probably still lose DeFilippo. Why would he stay to be quarterback coach?
Yeah,
that wouldn't make any sense.
Probably, but so they lose their quarterback coach, not their offensive coordinator and their backup offensive coordinator. Right. You know,
Eagles fans were pissed when that happened.
They should have.
And they announced Reich was going to be probably the lead dog in the candidacy.
Yeah, it's interesting that how, you know, a lot of people hate Josh McDaniels, not just Utah.
Bears cut Jarrell Freeman and Mr. Sitton. Save a boatload of money. What are your thoughts, Tim? Chicago Bears fan.
The Bears are going to continue to save a shit ton of money. Look for them to end up, God damn, I'm blanking right now on the...
Pernell McPhee.
Mike Glennon, the safety or the corner.
Cooper.
Thank you, Cooper. He's owed like $4.5 million last year. That's something along the lines of like $28 million. Glennon was 12, so that's close to like 23.
They cut all three. It's like $22 million.
$22 million for all three of cap space. I'd put him at
like $74 million.
Makes perfect sense. So there's other players there. Obviously, like you said, Jarrell Freeman, Sutton, all those guys are all gone. There's actually a handful of guys. Jeff Dickerson, who's like the main Bears beat reporter. He does stuff for ESPN, but there's a monster list. You know, the Bears may be going into the draft with a lot more needs than they originally expected because there's a lot of, I don't even want to call them cap casualties, but there's a lot of people out there who just aren't very good, injury prone. You know, they just shouldn't be on the team anymore type guys.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be players in free agency.
Yeah.
I think they have to address the wide receiver position in free agency.
I think it's going to be a big battle for offensive free agents between the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers.
100%.
So that is going to be, well, who can build up around, they're trying to build around Jimmy G, they're trying to build around Mitchell Trubisky, who's going to be able to, you know, make their franchise quarterback?
If you were an offensive playmaker, which team would you want to be on?
Jimmy G, no doubt, yeah. San Francisco. I mean, you heard last year of players texting media members saying, hey, what's Jimmy G like? It just seems like they're having so much fun there in San Francisco. I told Tom as we were prepping for the show, the San Francisco 49ers led the league in minutes by rookies, and 16 of those 17 rookies are still on the team now. They're a young team. They're a hungry team. Seems like they're building it the right way. John Lynch seems to have a great layout and a great mentality. This draft will totally set the tone for where this franchise is over the next, you know, 5 years. This draft could legitimately make them potential Super Bowl contenders in 2 years.
We've seen drafts do that before. Yeah. We saw what happened with the Rams.
Yeah.
They were nothing. They got a good influx of offensive talent. Even the Saints. they were one of the better teams in the NFL, but they had the best draft out of anyone. In complete A-plus draft, and they were right there getting to the NFC Championship.
Saints were second in rookie minutes last year. So it'll be very interesting. Like I said, I truly expect it to be, you know, 49ers versus Bears, and it kind of sucks, especially because, you know, it's fishing for offensive free agents. You already have, you know, California versus Chicago. Everyone wants to go to California. I'm sorry, you have, you know, now Jimmy G over Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky's great. Some people might be excited about him, but that's Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that's, you know, he's Tom Brady's son. You know, everyone's excited about him. So it's nerve-wracking as a Bears fan, but I do think that there's enough wealth for both teams to make out pretty mightily.
Yeah, Tim, there's a lot of guys who get cut from the Bears.
Yeah.
Deion Sims.
Yep.
$666,000 in dead money, but they would save like $5.5 million. Even like Danny Trevathan, they'd save over $5 million. Yeah,
there's a lot of guys, like, they could potentially get over that $100 million available cap mark if they get part guy like Danny Trevathan. You know, who honestly I think they'll keep him. You know, there's guys there who they should probably keep because it's juice is kind of worth the squeeze. I don't think they're gonna find someone. It just depends on if they think they're gonna find someone in free agency or the draft. So, but no, that's. When I was going over it earlier today, like you said, there's a lot of money. There's probably close to 12 guys that could still be cut at this point for the Bears.
With Josh Sitton getting cut, do you think that the Bears now in the draft turn to one Quentin Nelson or an offensive tackle?
They hired Notre Dame's offensive line coach. So obviously people are going to be connecting those dots and saying that he's going to be beating the drum to draft Quentin Nelson if he's there at 8 for them. And they should. He's a top 3 player in this class for me. Doesn't really have many weaknesses as a player. People are comparing him to Larry Allen, Zach Martin, saying he's a potential for All-Pro his rookie year, which there's a chance, but it's still rough. It's still rough taking a guard in the top 10 of a draft. The positional value, it's just, it doesn't seem like it's there, even when he's an All-Pro type player.
I think the best type of situation for the Chicago Bears is if when they get to 8, there's still two of the big-name quarterbacks there, whether it be Josh Allen and...
Sam Darnold.
No, your guy from Oklahoma.
Baker Mayfield.
Thank you, Baker Mayfield. Whoever it may be, and hope that the Buffalo Bills are willing to trade their two picks for that. That's when they... Listen, you're not going to get a Quentin Nelson that far back at 21 and 22, but realistically, a Mike McGlinchey, a Orlando Brown, a... who's your kid from Texas?
Connor Williams.
Connor Williams.
He won't be there.
I think they could all be there
at 21 and 22.
Yeah, I think at pick 8, it may be somewhat of a reach for one of those guys. I don't know how I feel about the Bears taking somebody that early, but
not somewhat. Listen, the Bears. This is why I don't think there's any chance of the Bears taking Quentin Nelson. When the Bears took Kyle Long, that was at like 21.
Yeah.
I believe is when they took him. They were bashed for reaching at that spot.
Oh, yeah.
at offensive guard.
He's nowhere near the prospect Quentin Nelson is.
No. Right. No, he's not, and he had a lot of previous issues, but the Bears are at a let's do things the right way kind of, and this is a big draft for them. This is kind of Ryan Pace's what's the word I'm looking for here? His history setting draft, right? This draft, in my opinion, will define Ryan Pace. It will define who he was as a GM and if he's going to make it or if he's going to fail. If he's going to, you know, just continue to put out garbage, they have a really tough schedule next year. You know, is he going to be able to draft a franchise quarterback and build a team? This is the draft that decides that. Drafting an offensive guard at 8, I don't think he can afford to do it, in all honesty.
There's talk about players getting tagged already. Yep. Le'Veon Bell, that's one that we talked about. Another one is AR-15, Allen Robinson,
yep.
From the Jaguars. And now,
I don't think you can say that anymore, though.
Yeah, you can't say AR-15. Can't say AR-15.
Oh, my bad. And now there's a new report coming out. Miami expected to franchise tag Landry. So
that would shock me, in all honesty. I think it's a pretty stupid move on their part.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the tag is for receivers. I'm guessing it'd be like 14.
Against everything we've heard so far.
Yeah,
so.
No, that wouldn't make any sense. You're also hearing, you know, you mentioned Bell, DeMarco Lawrence. You heard that he wasn't going to be tagged until like
$16 million
mid March
for a receiver.
For a receiver in 2018.
As much as I like Jarvis Landry, it's not worth it as a slot receiver.
No.
Didn't even have over 1,000 yards last season. Yeah, he's getting more usage in the red zone, and they had Jay Cutty as your quarterback, but. It's not worth it, but that's the Miami Dolphins. They're just in football purgatory right now.
I don't see how, especially with all the kind of wide receiver free agents that are out there, I don't see how they can do that. The Dolphins are not good unless they're going to cut Sue. But even so, I mean, cutting Sue only saves them $4 million because they lose out on 22 in dead cap. And obviously we've heard that, but there's just so much. I just can't. I can't imagine them keeping one Jarvis Landry. That's shocking to me. It'd be very, pretty disappointing as a Bears fan as well.
Gronk, do you think that the retirement rumors are true?
Nope.
I think there's something there. Yeah. WWE's looking at him. There's been the reports that they'd be willing to offer him a lucrative contract if he decided to retire from football and get into the wrestling business. Look, he's been banged up a lot. That concussion in the Jaguars game was bad, and it's just a never-ending issue with this kid. He's never spent a dime of his NFL earnings. He's only been spending endorsement money, so he's got plenty of money in the bank. I hope, as a Patriot hater, that he does retire, because that'd be a huge void for that football team, but I'm worried about him as a person.
Yeah, let's, you know what, he's got concussion issues, so his idea is, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to have to be more active, less effective, and in a more physical activity. That makes a ton of sense. He's not going to do that. He's not absolutely not going to do that.
There's more concussions in the NFL than there is the WWE.
The amount of he's more active and has more risk of opportunity to be concussed in the WWE with how active he's going to be. The training alone that he's going to have to go through in order to be available to the WWE is going to put him at risk. Ignorance, not knowing what you're doing, all creates more risk. I don't see it. Why would he could play for another 5 years, play through his prime, and then go to the WWE if he really wanted to. There's not a real option for him in the WWE. I hope that he avoids that at all costs.
Just a little bit longer here. We're going to shift over to some of the NC2A guys that are going to be going into the draft. One comp from Mr. Zerline on Twitter comps Josh Allen to Jake Locker coming out of college. Thoughts on that comp?
Both struggled with accuracy. Both never throw over 60% accuracy in the NFL. I think Allen has a much bigger arm than Locker. Yeah. Both pretty athletic.
Locker was Washington?
Yeah, he was Washington. Got drafted by the Titans. But I think Allen has better tools than Locker did coming out of college. His arm, I don't think there's much of a comparison there. But the struggles with accuracy, both kind of being mobile, and just a lot of people wondering if they can transition to the NFL game.
Yeah, that's a decent, vague comparison. Like you said, you mentioned the arm. Should sound a video while you're upstairs playing with your dinghy, Josh, of Josh Allen kneeling on the 40, hitting the crossbar on the field goal post. Pretty ridiculous. Biggest thing, reason why I like Josh Allen a little bit more than Locker is Allen has that attitude. He has that swagger. He has that confidence that Locker never, went through. Allen has that more of that, I'm Brett Favre, I'm the best MF-er out here.
Yep.
I'm going to whip the ball around and force it through here and go make big plays, get it in and out of the pocket. Locker was more of a pocket passer who just never translated to the NFL.
Baker Mayfield will not attend the NFL draft.
I don't want to see him cry on national television. He's not drafted in the first round.
It's smart. I wouldn't go. You're only offered a limited amount of seats. Dude's probably really popular. He's a very attractive young man. Probably got a bunch of ladies that want to hang out with him. Might as well be at home, be with the family, and just have everyone there and enjoy the night together.
I am just upset that we're going to miss out on the opportunity of Baker Mayfield putting on that Miami Dolphins hat and then grabbing his junk right there in front of the whole crowd.
Giants, or according to Peter King, he has been told by multiple NFL sources that they expect the Giants to pass on quarterback at number 2 overall.
Bullshit.
They do, it's Saquon. And I really wouldn't blame them. Saquon's that offense. Can you imagine OBJ, nice. Sterling Shepard, Saquon nice. Barkley, Evan Ingram? But yet again, they'd be failing to address the offensive line, which is important for them.
Guys, this is pretty simple, okay? Same way that the Browns are saying, oh, we love Baker Mayfield, we love it. The Giants led it league that, oh, we were not going to go quarterback. Why? Because that increases the value of their pick.
Yeah.
People think that, okay, that pick's available, I'm going to actually offer, and it's going to get them the most amount of offers for that pick. They're just trying to gauge the most amount of inventory that they can gather. When people think it's available, then they're going to offer things. It's going to open the discussions of these trades. Same thing the Browns did. Oh, we like Baker Mayfield. So, come on. You like Baker Mayfield.
I do.
Out of your mind.
I like Baker. He's my number one quarterback, too.
Yeah, you would take him at number one overall? You're a liar. You're a liar if
the
you
only,
say you
The only quarterback I would take him over him is Josh Rosen.
Minkah Fitzpatrick revealed that he is most comfortable as a slot cornerback. According to First and Goal on Twitter, Fitzpatrick also stated he models his game after Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger. So more of the hybrid safety slot role. You also look at his stats. In 2017, he only had 13 snaps as an outside corner.
Yep.
I like Minkah a lot. I keep hearing nonstop that Minkah's going to go 4 to the Browns. I personally don't get it. I hope they don't do that, but he's going to be a valuable asset to some team.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat with Mika. Love the player, but the only way I see him going top five is if a team thinks he could be the next Jalen Ramsey. If he can be that big shutdown corner on the outside. No one's going to be drafting a slot corner number three, four, five in the NFL draft. It's just not going to happen. Yeah, he's a very good leader. He's got the ability to play free safety, maybe strong safety, and slot corner. So he does give you a lot of options in that department. But no one's taking a slot, a primarily slot corner at that spot in my eyes.
I look for him to fall similar to the way some of the other corners did last year. End up at an Oakland at 10 or something like that. You know, fall back a little bit.
They have
Gary Conley.
Obi Melifonwu at Oakland, right?
Yeah,
Minka could play a free safety, though.
He could help fill a lot of different roles. That secondary needs another solid player.
All right, sounds good.
My point, it's not necessarily Oakland. My point wasn't that I think Oakland's going to take him. My point was I can see him falling back from that, like, to that like 9-12 role when everyone has him projected at like 4 and 5, like a Marshawn Lattimore, you know, fell back, especially with him not having a defined position. We saw better talent at that position, in my opinion, fall further back in the draft, so it wouldn't shock me.
We're gonna see at the combine in just a little bit over a week if he's even got the hips, the feet to play outside corner. Mm-hmm. Those drills are so important for cornerbacks.
Tom, I know that you talked about Alexander, the corner, out of Louisville before.
Jair?
Yep, Jair. And would you have a comparison for him to another current NFL corner? Because Zuerlein, who has been comparing a couple people now, has compared him to somebody, and I kind of want to get your take on it.
He's not the biggest guy in the world. He's got awesome ball skills. Kind of reminds me of Denver's Chris Harris, if I had to really compare him to anyone.
This guy compares him to the Detroit Lions corner, Tease Tabor.
I don't see that at all.
At all. Yeah. I mean,
so he doesn't tackle?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think Jair is a terrible athlete because Tease Tabor is not a good athlete. No. What, he run in the 4.6s last year?
Yeah, he like took a cart down there. Yeah. Push him in a shopping cart.
I don't get that comparison really at all.
Tim, you're going to like this one here. We have Optimum Scouting's Eric Galco writes that mentality, instinctively, character-wise, and projection-wise, Sam Darnold is not that far off from one Carson Wentz. But he also says that Darnold is probably a full year away from showing the kind of player he really can be. But he loves his upside.
I agree with that. I don't know if I necessarily love that comparison. I guess I see it a little bit, but
that's really weird. What? His own rankings for quarterbacks go, after saying all that, his own rankings for quarterbacks go Rosen at 1, Lamar Jackson at 2, and then Darnold 3.
Yeah, that makes no sense. If you have Lamar Jackson at 2, you should probably jump off of a bridge. Looking more and more likely. More and more people pushing one Lamar Jackson to go to a wide receiver.
Bill Polian is the only person pushing that right now.
He's a giant troll. He's trolling everybody.
He's done a lot of great things in his football life.
Did you see the last interview that Polian had?
He's going senile.
They go, what do you think of Lamar Jackson? Oh, yeah, he's a great wide receiver. That's what he says. It's outrageous. I don't get it.
And he's been on record saying Johnny Manziel was big enough to play quarterback, but then says Lamar Jackson's too small.
Yes. He learned his lesson. It's called learning.
Lamar Jackson's too small. He's 6'3".
It doesn't matter how old you are.
Baker Mayfield is
6 foot.
6 foot.
And like 3/8.
Yeah,
Baker Mayfield's probably about 5'7.5".
Man, it's just so funny.
And Andrew Luck is throwing, guys. He announced that in his
he's got
a robo arm right now. It looks very big.
That's what I think. I think he went. That's why he went to the Netherlands. They put a freaking robot, freaking shoulder in him, and that's why he's so like even more robotic than usual. I feel like you're gonna hear him drop back with the hot mic.
There's some shirtless pictures of him at beaches in
I'm
California.
I'm sure you've seen those.
I have. I've looked at them. Yeah. He looks good. He looks ripped.
Yeah.
Very hairy chest, very hairy face. Looking wow, good.
This is the
looking
weirdest
good, Andy.
Freaking football show I've ever listened to.
Last thing I want to ask you guys, we did not talk a ton about quarterback Luke Falk last week. We did not put him in our rankings. We probably should have above Lamar Jackson.
Let's do it next week.
But with Luke Falk, do you guys have a comparison for him? Because if you look at his completion percentage, it's through the roof every single year he played. What was it? Washington State, right?
Yep.
Through the roof.
I got one. You're going to hate it.
Who is it?
Mike Glennon.
Oh, my God.
That's my comparison. They're similar.
I hate you.
They're so similar, it's not even funny. Go look at the way that they throw, the way that they read the secondary. So similar. Body styles, everything.
Walter Football's Charlie Campbell compares Falk to Kirk Cousins.
Tell Charlie Campbell that he can go freaking sit on one. That guy
that's
is
the
a,
guy who
yeah,
called
that
Rosen
guy,
out.
That guy is a, that guy's a freaking bozo. Walter Football. Those guys are the most overrated schmucks I've ever. Every time I'm like, all right, I'm going to look someone up, start reading on them, whatever, then I go to Walter Football. Just freaking dribbling nonsense. Just spewing out of their freaking mouths. Scumbags.
Anything else, guys?
That's about all I got.
Tim, how about you?
I don't even ever see an article from Walter of Walter Football. Who's Walter, Josh?
I don't know. I have no
What's
idea.
What's that guy's name? Charlie what?
Campbell.
Charlie
yeah,
Campbell.
Tell Charlie in the Chocolate Factory to fix his shit. It's a broken system.
All right. Well, that's all we have for you guys with some of the news going into the next couple weeks for the NFL. So, hope you guys enjoyed this. Again, be on the lookout for the running back 2018 draft ratings that we have and breaking them all down in certain categories where we have them ranked compared to other running backs. So, again, for Tim and Tom, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony underscore Keg underscore Tom. Still obnoxious. And at Fight Talk Tim. So until next time, we'll see you.
Peace.